Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Fast. For 48 hours.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
He called them freak-offs. That's what Cassie Ventura told a federal courtroom this week as she stood on the witness stand. Eyes level with the jury, recounting some of the darkest, most dehumanizing experiences of her adult life. Freak-offs. A phrase that sounded like it came from a bad nightclub flyer. What was Sean Diddy Combs allegedly doing in freak-offs? A word he used to describe drug-fueled sex parties he orchestrated down to the finest detail, the temperature of the room, the lighting, the people involved, even the color of her nail polish. Every element was micromanaged by Combs, Ventura testified. She wasn't a girlfriend in those moments. She wasn't even a partner. She was, in her words, a job. That's how the third day of Combs' federal trial opened. No warm-up, no buffer, just Cassie. Now, 37. Explaining how she became trapped inside a routine she says revolved entirely around Diddy's wants, his control, his appetites. These freak-offs allegedly took place in cities all over. Los Angeles, New York, Miami, even overseas. And they weren't spontaneous. They were choreographed. Combs, she said, would often record the encounters, storing away footage that she would later come to believe served as a threat. Leverage, something he could always use to shame or control her if she ever tried to leave. It's quite a sick world that Sean Diddy Combs lived in and drug others into under the guise of celebrity, fame, fortune, power, whatever it may be. It all came at a price. Not a price of necessarily time, money and such for those involved, but a price of their dignity. You give me your dignity, I'll give you this. And then I'll take a little more dignity. And so you can't leave. Tell me what you think about how things went in court today in the comment section on YouTube. Press subscribe, of course, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, whether it's YouTube, Twitter, X, or on any podcast platform. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this. And yes, I really do want to hear your thoughts on this in the comments section. So what do you do? How do you leave something like this? And she did try. Over the course of her testimony, Ventura described multiple attempts to pull away, to escape the life she says she was forced to live. But every time she took a step back, she said Combs pulled her harder into it through manipulation, violence, or the looming threat of humiliation. She told jurors that she was routinely made to take drugs, not because she wanted to, but because it was the only way she could mentally endure what was being done to her. GHB, ketamine, ecstasy, whatever helped her disconnect, she described using them like armor. Or Skittles. Something to help her numb out, to float above what was happening to her body and her mind when she could not say no. Ventura said there were days when these freak-offs would last so long, sleep became a luxury. There was no space to do anything else, she testified. Her life during that period was reduced to performance and recovery. And it wasn't in a studio. And when she wasn't performing, she said she was recovering from all the psychological fallout of it all or from the violence. She wasn't just talking about sex. She was talking about being beaten. One of the most brutal moments of the day came when Ventura recounted a 2012 incident inside a moving SUV. She admitted she had punched Combs in the face out of frustration. She didn't try to dodge that fact, but what followed, she said, was unlike anything she could have anticipated. Combs, according to Ventura, turned cold. His demeanor changed. His eyes went black, she told the courtroom. Then he hit her, knocked her down inside the car. She tried to crawl under a seat. She said to shield herself, he allegedly stomped on her, kicked her, and left her battered. The prosecutor asked if she ever saw him injured by any of these altercations. She shook her head, no, not once. But she said she needed days to recover from the injuries he left behind. There were moments when Ventura seemed to be carrying the full weight of years she's tried to forget. Her voice cracked when she spoke about the shame, not just from what had been done to her, but from what she had been forced to do to others. She said Combs would have her recruit women for these freak-offs. Friends, strangers, people she now believes were treated as disposable. She called it personal shame. She said she carried it with her long after the cameras stopped rolling, after the music faded. She said she was made to feel like she was only good for one thing. And she lived in that belief for years. Then there was a story about Kid Cudi around 2011, during a time she says she and Combs had briefly split, Ventura dated the rapper. When Combs found out by going through her phone during a freak-off, he allegedly lost it. She described him flying into a rage, holding a wine opener between his fingers like brass knuckles, lunging at her in fury. But it didn't end there. Ventura testified that Combs threatened to blow up Cootie's car, not in a joking, puffed-up rapper way, in a way that left her genuinely terrified. Then came the eerie part. Cootie's car actually did explode in his driveway sometime after that. Ventura didn't accuse Combs outright of causing it, but she said the coincidence haunted her. She cut off contact with Cootie. She said the threat felt too real. She wasn't alone in experiencing that fear. Ventura told the court she once watched Combs attack her friend, Brianna Bungolin, at her apartment. She said Combs grabbed Bungolin and dangled her over a 17th floor balcony before slamming her down onto patio furniture. That friend would later file a civil suit of her own. Ventura's testimony tracked closely with those claims, further building the prosecution's argument that this wasn't a one-time thing. It was a pattern. The prosecution didn't need to coach her. Ventura didn't come across as someone trying to impress a jury. She owned her contradiction. She admitted she'd filed a civil lawsuit in 2023 and settled it within 24 hours. She took a payout. But when asked why she was now testifying in a criminal case under oath on the record, she didn't hesitate. "I wanted to be compensated for the time and the pain," she said plainly. "But this was something different. This," she said, "was about no longer carrying the guilt, no longer protecting someone who she says never protected her." She wasn't just giving testimony, she was shedding skin. David Alcombe sat in the defense table, flanked by lawyers. His expression was unreadable. His daughters, who had attended earlier sessions, weren't there, likely due to the explicit nature of the day's testimony. And hey, you don't want to think of your dad as this monster, but sorry, girls, he's a monster. The best thing you can do is never talk to him again for the rest of your life. But his sons were, you know, the ones he groomed, the ones that have their own charges against him for living a lifestyle with accusations very similar to this against them. And his mother was there as well. And a courtroom full of media and legal observers took in every word Ventura said. There were no outbursts, no dramatics, just the slow, steady unraveling of a carefully curated public image, thread by thread. Ventura never once claimed perfection. She admitted to starting fights. She admitted to being angry, but she kept circling back to the same truth, that none of what happened was equal, that no matter how messy things got, the scale of violence, the control, the threats, the blackmail were all very one-sided. And then almost as a quiet closing note, she looked out at the courtroom and said what may have been the most important line of the day. "I can't carry the shame anymore." She didn't need to say more. That line lingered in a case that's been buried in headlines, conspiracy theories, and decades of celebrity power plays. It was the first time someone at the center of all of it stepped into the light and told a story that felt real, raw, and terrifyingly human. Next, the courtroom would move from words to evidence, from her testimony to what the government says backs it all up. But for now, the story stood on its own, complete, undeniable, and officially part of the record. There's a moment in every trial where the story shifts from the telling to the showing. Words become images. Allegations become exhibits. And for the jurors sitting in that federal courtroom, May 14th was that moment. The day picked up where Cassie Ventura's testimony left off, except now it wasn't just her words being offered as evidence, it was photographs, videos, screenshots, visuals that prosecutors argued were the concrete footprint of everything she had just spent 2 days describing in painstaking detail. But this wasn't the kind of material that could be casually dropped into the courtroom slideshow. These were explicit sex tapes, graphic photos, materials that had to be handled like live wires, carefully, deliberately, and under strict procedural control. The judge, Aaron Submarinian, wasn't leaving anything to chance. Before jurors saw a single frame from any footage, the court recessed to figure out the logistics, not out of squeamishness, but out of necessity. The courtroom was packed, media, spectators, family, and what was about to be introduced wasn't just salacious, it was legally sensitive and deeply private. So the court paused, not to debate whether the material should be shown, but how. When proceedings resumed, it was clear the plan had been set. Screens were aligned, monitors positioned, and the public feed was cut. Jurors would view the images on personal screens placed in front of them. Everyone else in the room, reporters, spectators, even parts of the legal teams, were kept in the dark. Cassie Ventura remained on the stand as the exhibits came out. She was handed a sealed binder of printed screenshots and stills from the videos. Her role wasn't to explain the acts depicted in every detail, but to confirm authenticity. She identified herself in the images. She named others involved, some of whom the prosecution says will testify later under pseudonyms. One woman, referred to only as Mia, appeared in several stills Ventura confirmed had been taken at what she called freak-off events. Another figure, a man named Jules, appeared in images from more than one session. He, Ventura testified, was a male escort hired by Combs. None of these visuals were shown publicly. Even courtroom artists were limited in what they could sketch, but those in attendance did catch glimpses of the jurors' reactions, and for the most part, they were unreadable. Stone-faced, quiet, occasionally glaring up at Ventura as she narrated. A few looked away after only a moment with certain images. Others stared longer. No one looked shocked. If anything, the vibe was one of grim acknowledgement. But the prosecution wasn't just interested in showing explicit content for shock value. They were laying groundwork. The photos and the screenshots weren't about titillation. They were about corroboration. Cassie had told the jury these events happened. Now the jury was seeing them for themselves, framed and frozen on screens that only they could view. The prosecution didn't stop with visuals. They moved to digital records, text messages exchanged between Ventura and Combs, extracted from her phone and laptop. In one string of texts from 2016, Combs expressed frustration about Ventura using ketamine before one of the sex parties. Quote, "We have to have a proper one with no K. I hate K," he texted, referring to ketamine. Ventura told the jury that ketamine made her inactive, not fully present, that it made her check out, and that Combs didn't like that. He wanted her participating, responsive, performing. Another thread took it a different tone, panic in it. Combs is seen pressing Ventura about a possible leak of a sex tape footage. He's urgent, demanding, telling her to find out who saw it, what the room looked like, what the guy resembled. "This is your life, and this is serious," he wrote. "Do not let him out of your sight, WTF. Ventura explained this was a common pattern. Combs would lose control over something, then go into crisis mode. The texts, she said, weren't about protecting her. They were about protecting him. And then came the legal pushback midway through testimony. Ventura began to describe how after a particularly violent episode, she would retreat, hide, and mention staying in hotel rooms just to avoid further attacks. That's when the defense objected. The objection wasn't loud or theatrical, but it was procedural. But it was telling. The moment Ventura shifted from describing physical acts to discussing how she protected herself afterwards, the defense called foul. Judge Semoranian called a sidebar. What was said there isn't part of the public record. But the outcome was clear. The judge let the questioning continue. There perhaps was some narrowing. That brief interruption signaled a tightrope both sides are walking. How much context is too much? How far can a witness go before the story becomes editorial? That's the question. The rest of the day unfolded with a sense of controlled tension. As more text messages were entered into evidence, jurors saw conversations that prosecutors argue reveal how deeply Combs controlled Ventura's environment. He had preferences, triggers, rules. There was even a text in which he asked her to change the music being played during one of the encounters. It wasn't about pleasure, it was about dominance, command. Throughout all of it, Combs sat quietly with his legal team. His demeanor was unchanged, focused, but hard to read. The defense attorneys huddled close during the video segment, speaking in whispers, occasionally glancing at monitors, shifting in their seats. One attorney was described as pulling on his fingers, an unconscious tick, maybe, or just the stress of watching evidence you can't fully stop from being seen. It's worth noting who wasn't in the courtroom. Earlier in the trial, Combs' teenage daughters had attended on this day. They, like I said, were not present, understandably so. What was being presented wasn't just about sex. It was about coercion, humiliation, control. Instead, his adult sons and his mother filled the row behind him, silent and unmoving. Now, support team you want. When sex tapes of you forcing people to have sex with you and basically torturing them are played in court, the thing every mom looks forward to, and sons to look up to their dad. As the afternoon wore on, court watchers began wondering if the defense would get their shot at Ventura that day, but as the clock edged closer to 5, Judge Semoranian made the call. He adjourned for the day. The defense cross-examination of Ventura would have to wait until morning. The reasoning was practical. The judge had been keeping a strict schedule throughout the trial, but it also left the day's events suspended in a kind of narrative pause. By the end of the day, the jury had seen the evidence that prosecutors argued backed up every corner of Ventura's story. They'd seen her injuries, heard his texts, looked at the images taken from the party she described, and while no one knows how jurors are processing it all, one thing is certain. Ventura's account no longer existed in isolation. It now had texture, documents, data, images. The court recessed without fanfare, no crossfire, no courtroom fireworks, just the end of a long, heavy day with more weight still to come. Give me your thoughts on day number 3 of the trial of Sean Diddy Combs in the comment section on YouTube. And like I said, hey, press subscribe wherever you're listening to us so you don't miss our coverage on the case. We're bringing it to you every single day. Full rundowns, full recaps of everything that happened in court in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. My name is Tony Bruschi, and we will talk again real soon.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Unless I'm fasting for 36 hours. Because that resets your whole, like, everything. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Like and subscribe.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.